Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Sorry, my tongue is tied this morning. It was a long night last night. I've been on this crazy diet, and I'm just going to say this. Crash dieting with Chinese food, not a good combination. It gives you weird dreams. I don't know why that is. And that's not meant to be any statement about ethnic food. That's just the facts of life. So hopefully in my sodium-induced stupor this morning, my tongue will start working correctly. It is great to see everybody this morning. It's a beautiful day in my neighborhood. I'm looking out my window right now. There's a nice little stream that runs by the office here where I record. The sun is up, and finally, it's not absolutely freezing outside, though it is a little bit cold. I love living in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. I hope that you love living where you live, wherever you happen to be, and even if you don't love where you're living, I hope that you appreciate the life that you have. Because, you know, we never know what God's going to do with us. Really and truly, we have no idea where the Lord is going to take us, and we don't know how life is going to develop. But yet again, as we talked about yesterday, that is one of the true beauties of being a child of God, that we trust God, we obey, and we leave the consequences to Him, and we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that He is working good for us, His people, and that even if we don't understand why things happen the way they do, that one day we are going to understand. So, steady as she goes. Again, thank you for being here. Whether you're with me live right now, I see Alice is there, and I'm sure a few more will join. Hey, Alice. And I'm sure several more are watching that haven't commented. But whether you're here right now with me live on Facebook, or whether you're listening later to this on sermonaudio.com, and speaking of that, I'm going to try to see if I can get the video actually uploaded to Sermon Audio as well. But maybe you'll be watching this later. I don't know. But it's helpful for me for you to be here. Hey, Jenny, good morning to you. I'm a people person. That may surprise you. I don't know. I like to be around people. It's my nature to be gregarious. So it's a comfort to me knowing that y'all are here, and there's Stacy. it's good to know that y'all are here, even if not with me, physically speaking. Well, today we are continuing on in our mini-series on the benefits of studying God's Word. I've asked, why is it important to study the Bible? And we've been all over the place in God's Word. Most recently yesterday, we saw that a major value in studying the Bible is that the Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. And this points to an even greater reality, another benefit of Bible study, namely, that the Bible really is our greatest source of encouragement. Take that idea. The idea that God has revealed His Word and will to us. That instead of leaving us to our own devices and all on our own, that God has given us the Word of life and it is our guide. What a marvelous and encouraging thing that is. I also mentioned several passages yesterday that you should file away to go to when discouragement comes. And these are just a few because, y'all, the Scriptures are full of encouragement. They contain the promises of God. It's amazing. But passages like Psalm 23, Psalm 46, Psalm 91, right, as we were in yesterday, Psalm 119, and that's just from the book of Psalms. There's so many other passages. But so remember that. The Bible is a great source of encouragement. But there is yet another benefit of studying the Bible that I want to point out today. And it's one that I've alluded to previously, but not really focused on. Why study the Bible? What benefit is there in studying God's Word? Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. In fact, book number 5 in the Old Testament. and we're going to actually be in Deuteronomy chapter 8. So when you get there, you can go ahead and turn to chapter 8. Deuteronomy is the 5th book of the Bible, and it's in Deuteronomy that Moses is the one who is instructing the generation of Hebrews that are about to go into the Promised Land. And I love the book of Deuteronomy because it's at this point that Moses knows that he is not going to be entering the Promised Land with his people. And so he is revealing sort of a set of final instructions, final teachings, before he passes the reins, as it were, to Joshua, and before the people of God enter the land of God that God had promised to them. So we're in Deuteronomy, and I'm going to start reading from chapter 8. But with those things in mind about Moses, you know, I don't know what it is. I think we're naturally inclinated to pay attention to people's final words, if you can call it that, right? In movies, that's always a really important part. When somebody's about to kick the bucket, you always listen closely to what they're going to say. And it's not as if Moses is on the verge right here on his deathbed. He's not going into the promised land, but we really ought to be paying attention to these instructions, both because they're from Moses, but bigger than that, this is the word of God, right? And it's for the people of God. But Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 1, this is what it says. It says, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." And I'll stop reading right there. So do you see what's really going on here? Back to our questions. Why study the Bible? What benefit is there in studying God's Word? Now, Moses is referencing here what God had done with his people since they had left Egypt, right? He's pointing out all of their wanderings in the desert. But he's also pointing to a powerful reality about the Word of God itself. The Word that you possess in all of its fullness in the Holy Scriptures. Excuse me. And again, if you don't have a Bible, let me know if you'd like one, and I'll do my best to try to get you one. But you have the Word of God in all of its entirety. And Moses points back to the time, what he's doing here, he references back to the time when God's people were wandering in the wilderness and they didn't have any food. And so they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord provided food. And just think about that. Food fell from the sky. It's unbelievable. But the greater reality of what was going on, we find out here from Moses that what was really going on is that, yes, God was providing for their physical sustenance, but God was teaching his people, and by extension, he teaches us, that we don't live by bread alone. That this world, the things of this world, it's not all there is. The things of this world are temporary at best. Whether it's here with Moses talking about not living by bread alone, whether it's Jesus talking about water that only quenches thirst for a small amount of time, and instead we need water from the well of life, water that gives eternal life. It's the same concept. We don't live by bread alone, but what do we live by? According to verse 3, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, what does this say about the Scriptures? What does this teach us about how important Bible study should be? Well, it tells us again what I've quoted several times since we started this mini-series. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever." And this is why, of all the reasons that we ought to study the Bible, our devotional thought for this morning is that God's word is our real sustenance. It is God's word that sustains us. And yet again, that's another reason to study, another benefit of God's word. Now, what does that sustenance look like? It looks like the things that we've been talking about over this mini-series. It looks like God's word being the light for our paths. It looks like having a lamp for our feet, right? It looks like using God's word well in our lives. It looks like having a renewed mind. It looks like instead of conforming to the world around us, it looks like being transformed and being truly different. It looks like going to God's word first and living by what God tells you to do instead of just living our own way. Because y'all, that don't work. It doesn't work at all. You know, I have interesting musical taste. I've often said that if they wanted to admit me to the crazy house, just let somebody see my Pandora account, because there's everything in it that you could imagine. But I love the crooners. I love Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra. Anyway, but as much as I love Frank, old Blue Eyes, the chairman of the board, if hell had a theme song, it would be My Way. Because let me tell you something, doing things our way, there's only one place that ends up, right? Our way, naturally speaking, leads to destruction. But God's way, well, that leads to life and abundance. I alluded to this yesterday, but do you understand the concept of God's law? The things that God tells us to do and not to do, why God has done this? Take the Ten Commandments, for instance. I think I referenced this in a sermon not too long ago. Realize that when God handed down, and the Ten Commandments are just one example, but they are a summation of the moral law and the law of how we should interact with man and how we should interact with God. But realize that when God handed down the Ten Commandments, that this wasn't just some random arbitrary list. It wasn't like some people have the misconception that God was looking down and said, and again, he's, you know, white robes in the clouds, all that kind of stuff. He's looking down and he sees what we really enjoy doing. And he says to himself something like, oh, well, they're stealing from one another and they really enjoy that, so I better put a stop to that. And, oh, they really get a kick out of lying, so I'm going to take that fun away too. That's not how that works. Realize that God's law flows out of who God is. They display his character. Yes, this gets back to the concept of God being holy. And he says, be holy because I'm holy, right? And holiness has many components, but one major component of being holy is being whole. W-H-O-L-E, being whole, being complete. And my goodness, y'all, if you follow the pattern of this world, if you do things your way instead of doing things God's way, that's not going to lead to being complete, to being whole. Now think about the Ten Commandments. If you covet, if you refuse to honor your parents, if you are an adulterer, if you are a liar, if you have other gods before God, that leads to a miserable life. Oh, you know, just take one of them. You know, coveting. Wouldn't the world be so much simpler and better if people didn't feel like they were entitled to what isn't theirs, to what belongs to somebody else? I think of my own life. If I didn't covet, for instance, oh my, if it were not for coveting, I'd be so much closer to contentment. But that's the lie, you see, that the more that we covet, the more that we want and the more that we get, the more content we'll be. But it just feeds itself. It spawns more coveting. You take the Israelites, for instance, to not have any gods before their God. And when they fell to worshiping the golden calf and so many other things, and it led to disaster. You know, think about their relationship with God. Food fell from the sky. And when they got tired of that, they asked God again, and he provided quail for them, right? And what did they do? They grumbled and complained, and they said, oh, we remember Egypt. We remember the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the melons. They didn't talk about the back-breaking slave labor, right? They forgot about that part. But again, the Israelites are just an illustration of what we tend to be. To forget that our real sustenance, bringing it back to Deuteronomy here, to forget that our real sustenance, our real survival and help, it doesn't come from this world. It comes from God, and specifically from his word. So I'll ask you again what I've been asking. Do you study God's word? How important is studying the Bible to you? When trouble comes, it should be the Bible that we turn to. It was for Jesus. In fact, if you skip forward to Matthew chapter 4, you'll find something interesting related to our passage today. When Jesus was tempted by Satan himself to turn the stones into bread, how did Jesus answer Satan? I've said before that he quoted God's word, but what specifically did he quote? Why, he quoted our passage, Deuteronomy 8:3, saying, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If it was good enough for Jesus, y'all, it's good enough for me. Again, if you don't study God's Word, I cannot encourage you highly enough to do so. And if you don't know Him, realize the alternatives this world provides are fleeting at best. Cling to what is eternal. Turn to Him today. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the encouragement that Your Word offers, yes, but also to the fact that it sustains us, that You provide for us in it, that You give us encouragement, instruction, correction, that, Father, it is so useful. Help us to be people of Your Word, to commit ourselves to study, again, not just for academic gain, not because it's some sort of talisman or amulet or anything like that, but instead because we want to know You and we love You. For those of us that already know You, please foster this love in us, encourage it, draw us closer to Yourself. And for those that do not know You, help them to see that the world's alternatives, they just don't provide. And instead, draw them to Yourself. I pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm delighted to have this time with you, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning live at 7 a.m. This is going to be available very soon on Sermon Audio, and if I can do anything for anybody, let me know. Have a great day.